Hi everybody, this is Shantae and welcome to Soul Time, a podcast where we're going to focus on talking about folk healing and folk wisdom. I'm really excited to have Molly McCartney here. I didn't say that right, did I? What's the last name, Molly?
Oh yeah, that's it.
Oh,
McCartney. You're totally McCartney. Right.
Okay, awesome.
Yep.
So yes, happy to have Molly here, who is a master intuitive and practical spirituality teacher. And she develops programs and helps her clients and students make more powerful decisions and find access to their inner peace, no matter what is going on in what they're dealing with on the earth plane. So I'm excited to have a conversation with Molly. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Great to be here. You're welcome. I'm glad to have you. So what's funny is I was at a networking event several months ago, and this lady stands up and just starts talking about how she's a master intuitive and she's a medium and all the buzzwords that I love to hear. And we ended up connecting afterward and found out that we had a mutual friend of many, many years. So it was really cool to meet with Molly and talk with her and to develop this relationship based on she'd already heard my name and our mutual friend was trying to get us together and never had. And so we were able to connect anyway. So I just love the way the universe works. When it's time to connect, we will. So I wanted to share that about Molly because I thought that was just really cool about the connection. So, Molly, how are you today?
Yes. I'm wonderful, thanks. It's a beautiful start to a beautiful week.
Yes, yes. Molly and I are both here in Orlando. So this conversation is going to be in our own time zone. So that's exciting. I think we're both rested and awake and ready to go. So I wanted to talk a little bit and just wind a story around what I consider sometimes to be a mystery around being an intuitive, a spirituality teacher. A lot of us have all these different types of views, all these images might show up. And I'm hoping today to kind of demystify some of the mystery and also just to learn a little bit more about you and how you got to where you are right now. So first, why don't we just talk about intuition and what that means?
Intuition.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Good place to start. And I'm a big fan of demystifying things.
Good.
We can't demystify everything. That would be foolish to think we could. But I think it's important to look at these things that have been seen as esoteric and only understandable by a small group of people and show that they are available to most, if not everyone, if they're ready to plunge in and ready to look at this part of themselves. So, intuition to me is, I define it as the voice of our spirit. And perhaps I could better say that that's our spiritual intuition, because some people have intuitions about, learning computers, or, you know, we say something's very intuitive and easy to use and easy to learn. And the term is essentially, it means self-taught or inner knowing, knowing without evidence. And so I've studied that word at length because I love the word. I grew up and developed in psychic development classes, but I never have identified as a psychic, only because I think the word has a lot more heaviness, a lot more baggage than I'd like to carry. And I respect it, but I don't like to foresee events for people and kind of fortune tell or, you know, that kind of thing. I will use my skills in service to timelines and looking at projected timelines according to choices. But just to shift it, I think the intuition is that inner knowing and being able to read energy in a way that I have no evidence of why I know what I know, but I can read someone's emotional energy and tell what's going on with them and speak their emotions before they can. And so that's the piece about getting to the place where you can help others, but where you're getting started, we all have intuition. It's our energy PS. So it's not this, it is a spiritual gift when you use it for your spiritual well-being, but it is an innate thing that all humans are equipped with. And we're just often taught not to listen to it. We're listening, we're taught to listen to logic and facts and figures and, you know, physical reality and evidence. And sometimes, most of the time, there's an intuitive knowing that may override some of that or warn us not to go that direction, or, you know, we'll feel confused and need some kind of evidence about an emotional situation when we go inside and listen to that intuition, and it just knows what's occurring, and that is for a higher purpose. And acceptance is the answer, or taking us, making a small change in our lives, or taking a new path. And once we just start following that, things fall into place. We feel a sense of wellness. We feel at peace. It's always aiming us towards helping our spirits feel alive in our bodies. Mm. You know, it doesn't want us to fester in places that aren't helping us grow. So, That's the short story, I guess.
What I love, I love that definition, knowing without evidence. That just kind of like, oh my goodness, I absolutely love that. Knowing without evidence says so much. I have a mentor, Maliodoma Somme, and I remember listening to one of his conversations, and he said, you know, what's more real, the tree itself or the shadow that the tree casts on the ground? And he was explaining that in his culture, the shadow that the tree cast was just as real, if not more real, than the tree itself. And when I heard that, it shifted something in my brain to focus on, I don't need evidence for what I intuitively know. And that is real to me. And that really helped me to begin and to expand in my own intuitive, listening to my intuitive self just as much as I listen to my brainiac self. So I love that. Yeah. I love that piece of the definition. That's awesome. So tell us, you know, give us an idea of how this started for you.
Well, I was always very kind of connected spiritually. And I, as a child, even I probably couldn't have described it to you that way, but I knew the word wise, and I knew the word spirit. And of course, God. I was raised in a Christian church until I got a little older and decided to study some other things and kind of learn all paths lead to God. But my intuition and my spiritual voice was the most important part. So I'd sensed that as a child. I have vivid memories of climbing this tree in the backyard, and I would just listen to the wind sometimes and hear messages and hear comfort and just kind of sense that something was taking care of me and I was being honed for something, you know?
It's like, yes.
I'm a 4-year-old girl. Like, what am I hearing here about wisdom and just kind of feeling the medicine in that natural space? And as I grew, I faced the challenges that many healers do. There's loss involved, heartbreak, grief, some health challenges when I got older. And all of those things, I look back now and see how I was being prepared to listen to my inner self and without fail and without doubt, and eventually grow to help other people with that skill. Because at a certain point, when you develop your intuition, the gift becomes a skill. But again, I was led to tarot cards as a teenager, and that helped me understand that spiritual level of life. And, just me and a dear friend of mine would read the cards together, and I'd read for other friends. And it wasn't until my 20s where I got invited to psychic development classes, where there was, we had a variety of different tools to read. And I said, oh, you don't need cards. I thought the cards were the magic, but I learned, nope, I was the magic reading the cards, or spirit is the magic talking to me. And I learned a variety of things and discovered I was a medium. I did not realize I was a medium until I took my psychic development journey and started to connect with people's loved ones on the other side. That was a little scary for me in the beginning, but amazing and a miracle that I've chosen to embrace.
Wow. So is that the difference? So describe a medium and like the difference between a medium and an intuitive, someone who considers themselves like an intuitive.
Right. So the kind of rule of thumb is all mediums are psychic and intuitive. Not all psychic intuitives are mediums. Gotcha. And I'll use that word psychic and intuitive interchangeably because really it's a past versus modern thing. That's the only difference really in my context. And so basically, intuitive and or psychic is able to read energy of living people, of events, finding lost items. There's a kind of a connection to physical reality there. Mm-hmm. And when it gets to the point where mediumship comes in, and that's and different people I would meet would either be stronger mediums, and that's where they did most of their work, or someone like me, I'm primarily intuitive, and mediumship comes in as a secondary tool for me. I ask spirit guides for guidance, but loved ones and connection to loved ones is not something I primarily do, but it is something I can do. So it's really, it comes in kind of as a surprise, I think, to some mediums, but it's really this ability to pull in evidence that is not physically verifiable unless it's through someone who knew the person when they were alive.
Gotcha.
So that's the hard part. And I was trained in a form of spiritualist evidential mediumship. So you make sure you have some evidence. We call the evidence describing the person, either connection to, what they look like, hair color, height, profession, what they like to do, emotional connection to the person sitting and asking for the connection. So it's harder. It's definitely more difficult to hone the psychic skill or the intuitive skill into communication on the other side, because you've got some real specific information to try to get to. And it's not just inspirational or analytical, I guess.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
just my perspective on it. But
yeah. That's really cool. Cause I'm wondering, I love the way you mentioned you have these gifts and then they turn and then they transition into skills. And to me, that looks like that to me in my visual brain, it looks like, okay, I have these gifts that are showing up in my life. And then somewhere in here, I'm making the decision that I want this to be a livelihood. Is that how that happened for you?
Absolutely. And for me, it was always kind of a mission, like what I came here on earth to do, and realizing, yes, I want to do this all the time because it's my favorite space to be in. I'm also an artist, so I would always go between, I don't know, is it the art, is it the spiritual work? And spiritual work has definitely taken over as my first love for now. It was hard to embrace that mission because it's not an easy path as a career. It was kind of like my spirit. I would listen to podcasts just like this with readers and authors and spiritual teachers. And I'd listen at my corporate job and just know that's what I'm here to do. That's what I want to do. Yeah. And had no idea how to get there, but just step by step, you listen to your intuition, you listen to some good advice and keep walking towards that.
Yeah. So you mentioned listening to different podcasts as you were working. I think it's so funny. I think every healer and light worker I've ever met, we all had these other jobs. And while we were doing these other jobs, while we were doing our main job, we were doing like our passionate stuff on the side. And so listening to podcasts or reading the books or just doing all this other stuff while we're, doing our other thing. So that leads me to who have been your mentors? Who has guided you? Like, was there anyone in your family that was highly intuitive that, guided you, or outside of your family? So what has that looked like for you?
Well, it's interesting. I know there's a few women in my family that were, my dad was very interested in mediumship, but some women in my family are very naturally intuitive, a lot of strong psychic connection with them, but I wouldn't say they ever identified that way. It was more of an emotional, I see that we're the same this way, and I kind of took it and decided to, make it big and make it real in my life.
Yeah.
I do have a dear aunt who does practice nature, nature wisdom and nature magic, and she's always been a huge supporter. And so it kind of, we joke that the gene kind of skipped around a little bit, but we're still really connected to everyone else in the family, but we're kind of the ones dancing in the woods and,
yeah.
And talking about oracle cards and things like that. Besides that, I had my dear friend, we developed together. It was a soul friendship, and that's real common, I think, with a lot of healers. You know, spirit brings you together. You have a soul contract to come together and develop and learn together. So we would practice a lot throughout the years and talk on that level, which helped me see life through that lens of spiritual reality and intuitive reality, and not just what's right in front of me, which is a space sometimes of blame and cause and effect, and it's, you know, very black and white, and it's not that way when you get into the intuitive realms. It's much more nebulous, but I don't know, it puts you into a more receptive mode where you receive information instead of looking for it. And I think the teacher that I like most, and she's a tough gal, but I really like her, Carolyn Mace, probably someone that my teachings are similar. I mean, that's the kind of stuff spirit gives me is very similar. I teach in a different way. And she's certainly been around way longer than me, and she's amazing. Looking at medical intuition, looking at surrender to the divine as all huge parts of your intuitive development path. I just love all of that work. I guess that, yeah, that's probably the most, all the most beneficial and influential people I can think of right now. But I know there's been more. And just life itself, you know, life itself has been the biggest teacher of all.
Always is, right? I say this is, we're in like the master's program when you, and with our life. So I find that interesting that you talked about when you're in that intuitive realm, how you view things, you're not so reactionary and everything is not so black and white. And you're in that receptive mode. And so, because that's something that I've found for myself as well. But it's funny, when I'm talking with people who aren't necessarily in their intuitive self, it's hard for them to understand that there's another way to view life through a different lens. And so I wanted to just get your idea of, in your experience, how important is it that we as a people begin to tune into our intuition more?
Oh my gosh, so important. It's the hill I will die on, as they say. So important. Oh my gosh. Especially with the rapid growth of the world. You know, I may be a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I'll just preface it with that. we're tumbling into this odd space of, we're going to need our intuition more than ever to navigate the technological landscape, the, you know, the globalization landscape. Like, so many different things are coming together, and without that ability to see beneath appearances and trust what is true inside, you know, we see it today with the internet's got all kinds of stories and what can you believe, what can you not believe, and if you're led around by all that stuff, you're going to feel very lost, and you're going to see that there's a lot of illusion. I mean, illusion used to be just kind of this metaphor for things that aren't as they seem, but now illusion is literally everywhere. Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, not tending that inner temple of our spiritual voice, I just see so much so fast, really kind of taking people out of their space of peace and centeredness. So to me, in spirit has always kind of whispered things to me. I've downloaded a lot over the years from my guides and a way in the ways that I see the world. And what they told me was that in the past, several hundred years, or probably even, you know, when the caveman picked up his first tool, we've been learning to navigate our logical minds and work with physical reality through logic and making things work, building things, improving things, strengthening our minds. And now we're making these nanobots, you know, and internet, and, you know, things that nobody could have dreamed about even 100 or 200 years ago. But basically, it's been growing because we needed to grow that faculty inside of us. And now what's happening is intuition will be taking a greater leap forward because we need to bring up that energy to meet that more logical, assertive energy. The intuitive, receptive energy is very important. So you were talking about the tree and its shadow. You can't have the shadow without the tree, and the tree can't be without a shadow. So you have to bring up those two in order to stay balanced and sort of thrive. And they tell me that it's going to happen no matter what, so don't worry about it. But it's our choice, our conscious choice as a humanity to make sure that that's present. Otherwise, we get lopsided, and then that's when we go over the cliff of development without wisdom, you know, pushing forward without really thinking ahead of next generations and what's good for us as beings, not just the money, not just the big, you know, big, awesome, you know, physical stuff, like what makes feel good to be here as human beings, you know, and intuition is the key to that. It's definitely the key to that.
Oh my God. That was so, that was really good. I mean, you couldn't have said it any more perfect. I loved it. Like, seriously, that was just like, I'm over here like, yes, yes.
Well, nobody asked me that question, so I finally got to say it out loud.
Gosh, I'm so glad I got to, like, ask that question. You got to, like, put that out there. It's like, all right, I got that download just for this moment. I love it. I love it. And I love, because I know, like, the show is about folk wisdom and folk healing. And one of the reasons why I really wanted you in this conversation is because this isn't new. This is, this just isn't new. This is the epitome of folk wisdom and folk healing. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of tie intuitive and being an intuitive to folk wisdom.
Yes, of course. Yeah. It's funny. I feel a little bit like a hybrid sometimes because I'm sort of in the modern space, but I'm always like have the other foot in the nature space and in the folk wisdom space that feels so natural to me from many lifetimes. So I love this question. And to me, I guess the best place to start with that answer is I see our spiritual body is just, basically we have a spiritual system, which is often known as the chakra system. That's the system we've learned to describe it as, and that's part of our spiritual centers in our body. So the intuition is the voice and the sensation that comes from that system. So we have our body with all its physical systems, and it speaks through pain and sensation and all kinds of messages to our conscious mind, like hunger, and, you know, that's the physical need in the physical body. Our minds speak through thought, so it judges reality based on those things. But our intuition and the voice of our spirit comes through inner knowings about different aspects of our lives. And when we listen to that first, we can bypass is kind of a weird word, but literally bypass illness and disease and things like this, unless it's a lesson that we have to learn. And that's how we're developing our intuition. But so we don't cause our illnesses. We don't cause anything like that. That's a fallacy that's out there. And I think it's kind of sad because it makes people feel really awful about having challenges in their lives. But with intuition, if you're navigating your healing or navigating challenge and illness, and we've all got it, doesn't matter how long you develop, you've still got challenges, then you're just learning to recalibrate to that inner wisdom. And the thing is, I've seen it in my own life in the past. I've seen it in other people and in just the world at large. When that intuition is not listened to, that's when, and again, spirit's shown me this picture, it sinks into the emotions. So you'll have an emotional illness or emotional issue. You're feeling kind of frustrated or overwhelmed or sad, or you're stuck in a grief process too long. And then if you don't follow your intuition, which is either releasing it, moving to the next stage, doing something to help your healing, then it sinks into the body and becomes something that's going to need more of your attention to deal with. So basically, your intuition is just, it's your spirit's voice saying, please pay attention to me. Please listen to me. I have needs. Yes. And when we listen, our wellness just thrives. And yeah, we've got physical stuff that happens, and that's part of the healing journey. But you can bypass a lot of chronic things or things that like doctors can't identify. There's all those, you know, lots of issues out there right now. People just are struggling with their health. And a lot of times it's a spiritual ailment more than a physical one. And when they change that thing in their life that's causing them distress, or they shift their mindset, all of a sudden things just start getting better.
Yes.
And so for me, I, you know, I'm a big fan of herbs, especially I use the, you know, I go to a Chinese medicine doctor and she's got her herbs from China and I love it. And I love holistic medicine of all kinds. So there's also intuition in that and knowing what kind of medicine is going to work for your system, depending on any number of things. But it's just knowing like, oh, this, I resonate with this, or I resonate. And I love your videos of the herbs and I resonate with this herb and this plant, and it's giving me medicine, whether I take it in or not, but I know what's good for me to take in. And even when you're shopping for herbs in the store, you know, you can use your intuition like, oh, this one doesn't feel right, but this one, there's just something about it. So I'm going to try this one. And you trust that initial, like it's sometimes just a second. And don't doubt it. So
yes.
If you doubt it, then it might not, you know, you might have some trouble with that. But.
Yes. That's perfect. Because as I view folk wisdom and folk medicine is that it's innate. It comes from within. It is the wisdom, the intuitive side of you is saying, hey, I'm needing some support here. And I'm going to point you and direct you if it's something outside of yourself or if it's something inside of yourself that your intuition is pointing you towards in order to support you. So I love that. And it was perfect because it was a perfect segue into nature. And I didn't know how connected you were to nature until, well, we started talking, but I saw this video where you were at your park, at one of your favorite parks, and you just talked about your connection to nature. And I'm like, oh my God, she's like my sister from another mister. Because... Well, one of the things that you mentioned in the beginning is you mentioned as a young girl climbing trees and listening to the wind. I did the same thing. I had a swing set in my backyard that was like really, really tall. And I would climb to the very top of my swing set and I would listen to the wind. And I would always sing the different tones that I would hear in the wind. It was like one of my favorite things to do. And I did that. And what's funny is I still do that. I still go outside and sit in my backyard and listen to the wind and sing the tones that I hear in the wind.
I love that.
I know.
Yes. Like... I did the same thing. And currently if I'm lucky enough to have these long walks in nature that I should do more often, I totally admit that. But, you know, a long time in nature, just starting to listen to the wind in the trees and just the sounds around, a song will come.
You know,
it's just that is. It's like from lifetimes ago, but it's still there, this nature song that just is only for that moment. It's beautiful.
Yes, it is. It's like, if it's old, it's ancient, it's from probably many lifetimes that Eugenia has just been holding, and it just, that wind just kind of like activates it to reemerge. And they're healing. And for me, that's medicine. That is just as powerful as any herb or anything I could ever take or get. That song is healing to every part of my being. So that kind of was the question, was about just your connection to nature. And give us maybe... like, how can people start getting out into nature? Like, what's a what's a first step?
Well, the first step, I have not been to every state, but I think most states have state parks. And that is a place that can feel very much like wilderness, but it's actually a safe place because there's rangers everywhere. You know, they're going to warn you if there's wildlife present that you need to be concerned about. In my case, I used to be more concerned about you know, anybody in the woods that's going to get me. I wasn't really worried about nature. I was worried about, you know, going out there alone, because there is some magic about being alone in those spaces. It's wonderful to go with a friend or a loved one and be there. But sometimes you start talking about mundane things, or you start to get into the logical mind if there's someone there to talk to. So unless you're planning to do a quiet retreat with somebody and agree that you're just going to be in that intuitive space together, going to a state park or even a city park is a really great way. I haven't had as much access to my local park. So I've been actually walking around my neighborhood, and there's a lot of old trees, and just kind of readjusting. And it's probably symbolic of me coming into the world with my intuitive work a little bit more. So yeah, there's cars, there's traffic, there are people, and I'm focusing on the natural elements around me. So even if you're in a city, just find those trees, look at the birds. Whenever I'm in a big city, I find it so interesting and not surprising that I'm like, yeah, the architecture is nice, but look at those birds, like the pigeons flying by. Oh, so gorgeous. And like, of all the things to look at, that's the thing that catches my attention. So there are little bits everywhere. And even that can be intuitively read for your life. Like, how do you feel about that? That there's this either balance or imbalance of human stuff and built stuff and growing stuff. And if you need more, you're totally right. Going out into nature, to me, I call it my spa day. I don't go to the spa. I go on a nature walk. If I really need renewal, I'll go to the state park or the beach and just walk the beach. And being barefoot on the ground is huge. There's a lot out there about grounding. Mm-hmm. It does the trick. And sitting under a tree on the roots for a while and meditating, or just being there with the tree, will pull anxiety right out of your body. It's amazing. Just finding, you know, it is everywhere, even though we've built up a lot, depending on where you live. There's always some Mother Earth around for you to connect to. And it's just a conscious effort to do it. And really take a moment. And if there's too many, human sounds around, I just put in some flute music in my earbuds, just very lightly, so I can still hear, but at least it's blocking out the annoying sounds, you know, that might take me out of that space.
Those are some great, those are great ideas. As you were talking and you mentioned about the tree and sitting on their roots, I think my deepest experience of that is I try to go for a walk every day, like as a 2 mile kind of movement exercise type of walk. But a lot of times on like the weekend, it's more of a leisure kind of walk. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I was grieving the death of my father, and I just happened to be walking, and I was hysterical. I was just so overcome with emotion and crying. And I saw this huge oak tree that was off on the sidewalk, and the roots were coming up through the ground. And I just could hear, just sit on my roots. And I just sat on those roots with my back up against that trunk and my butt right on those roots and my feet on the ground. And I was crying hysterical. And I could just feel the roots just pull that hysteria right out of my root chakra. Like it just absorbed right in. And I was able to calm myself and just kind of be there and just in that space. And it was so profound and so beautiful. I'll never forget that experience because I was just overcome. And I just sat down, and within a moment, it just, everything calmed down in me, and I was just able to find my center. And now on my walk, I pass that tree sometimes on the weekend, and we have such the best connection. Like, I remember the experience, and it's like every time I walk past the tree, I just say thank you. So it really does work, and it makes a difference how nature is so supportive. Yeah, I just wanted to share that story.
And that's a beautiful story, and it's so illustrative of the truth of that, because And it's one thing, some people out there may be wondering, I don't know, like, do we hurt the trees when we do that? Like, no,
yes.
We don't at
mm-hmm.
all,
mm-hmm.
you know,
no.
Because they're filters of all of that stuff. Like, if you think they filter carbon dioxide, which is toxic to us, but it's actually our negative energy can actually be beneficial for them when it's that more organic and negatively charged energy inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring mm-hmm. that healing in, but it's just like this, if you think of it, we're like filters of energy and so are they. We're just like yeah. moving trees, but they don't have as much going on in their heads. And
they
can take out that EMF energy from electronics if you're on the computer a lot. And like I'm very mental, even though I'm very mental. That's not good. Psychic, not psycho. no, I'm very intellectual as well as intuitive, and on the computer a lot because I do a lot of my own computer stuff for my business. And my corporate job as well. So it would be kind of like that overwired, over exhausted brain feeling, and mm-hmm. nature was the only thing that could take that out of my system. It was like some people take a lot of medications, and that's fine, that's their choice, but it's like I didn't want to go that route. I knew I had anxiety, but I found that, oh, it's just that my human form is not meant to be put through all of this.
Yeah,
I need that connection to the natural world, and nobody told me that, so I have to make sure that I do it as a vitamin, like vitamin nature, you know.
Mm-hmm. I love
balance.
That vitamin nature.
Yeah,
that's the best. I'm like, oh, that's an article, vitamin nature.
Yep, vitamin N.
Oh my goodness! So tell us, like, what are you doing now? What's on the horizon for you? What are you working on? Yeah, what's next for you?
Well, what's next for me right now, I am transferring. I have a spiritual mentoring course, an intuitive development course called the Empowered Wisdom Program. And I'm currently moving that over to where it will be available as an online course and or a mentoring course with me. So I want it to be available to a broad range of people. So whatever your budget is, you're able to get in and have this information and have this mentoring on some level. So that's been a bit of a project of mine. And also I do private sessions in my office in Winter Park, Florida, and phone and video chat worldwide. So if if anyone needs a reading and just wants some spiritual guidance in the moment on specific issues, I'm always mm-hmm. available for that. And I don't think I'll ever stop that. I love
yeah.
that so much. So that's just ongoing, like what Spirit has me busy doing. But mostly building my wisdom school. And so the Empowered Wisdom Program is a big part of that. And it's my flagship love creation.
Yes.
And totally what it is the information I've downloaded from my guides over the years that's helped me so much. And some exercises I've also learned from my development teacher, who I totally forgot to mention earlier. My development teacher, Maida Jones, who's out in Casadega, Florida, she's a medium out there. She taught me a lot of the spiritualist development exercises, so I share those also with my students. And so, yeah, it's a labor of love. I never want to stop. I feel like I'm going to be doing this stuff until I'm old and just can't do it anymore. And there'll be more courses to come: energetic awareness courses and clearing courses. And that's something else I do is energetic clearing in the office and at a distance. So, yep, I just do what
nice.
Spirit tells me, and
yes.
my book will be coming out next year as well. So, you know, there's just all kinds of things.
Yes, there's all types of things just budding up all over, and I'm so excited that you are connected with Soul Care U, because I will be sure to share all of what you're doing so that people can connect in and get the support and the nourishment they need. So, oh my gosh,
awesome.
Molly, the time went by so fast, and I'm so glad. Oh my gosh, it was so amazing to talk with you and to share you with the Soul Care U community. And I look forward to seeing more of all that you are doing and releasing. So, even though I'm going to share it in the written form, how can people connect with you?
My website is mollymaccartney.com, and that's MollyMacCartney. And that will connect you to everything else. There's always going to be a place to get a hold of me, and then my courses and my sessions and information. My blog and free videos are all on there. So I always welcome everyone to come take a look at those and see how it resonates for you. And if it's helpful, I'm so glad to be helpful because that's what I'm here to do.
Yes. Awesome. So I will be sure to have that link on the write-up of our call today. And thank you so much, everyone, for just tuning in for another show of Soul Time Talks. I really appreciate you all tuning in each time we have a guest because these are very near and dear to my heart, and I love connecting with folks, and I hope you are enjoying it as much as I am. So thanks again, Molly.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome, and I will talk to everyone soon.